For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Free from the Law, as we pick up in Romans chapter 7, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Romans chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. In other words, I'm talking now to the Jews. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he lives. Don't you realize, Paul said, you that know the law, that the law has dominion over you as long as you live. One example out of the law that he brings to show the point. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to the husband as long as he is living. But if the husband is dead, she is freed from the law of the husband. So then if while her husband is living, she be married to another man, she be called an adulteress. But if her husband is dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. He's using this particular example out of the law to show that the law has power over a person as long as they are living. Wherefore, my brethren, you have become dead to the law by the body of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul has just told us in the sixth chapter that we were crucified with Christ. Know ye not that the old man was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be put out of business, katagero. So that I have been crucified with Christ, the law no longer has any effect upon me. I am now freed from the law through my death with Christ. It has ended my relationship with the law as a means for a righteous standing before God. So we have become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that we should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So it isn't that I have been freed from the law that I might live any kind of way that I might want to live after my flesh, fulfilling the desires of my flesh. That's not what he's talking about at all. I have been free from the law because it could never make me righteous anyhow. I have been freed from the law only to be married to another, even unto Jesus Christ, to be joined unto him. And the life that I now live is a life of bearing fruit, but the fruit of the believer's life is actually, in many cases, living by a stricter standard than even the law would require. For the love of Christ constrains me, Paul said. For the love of Christ, I would not do that which would cause a weaker brother to stumble. For Christ's sake, married to Christ, joined now unto Christ in this new relationship with God in the new covenant through Jesus Christ, does not mean that I'm free to indulge in my flesh. Far from it. It means that I am bound now by even a greater law, the law of love, the law of love for Jesus Christ. And now my life is producing fruits, or fruit for him. Whereas I once was under the law, as far as a standard of my righteousness or my standing before God, which could never really give me a consistent standing before God. And those who are under law are under the works of the law, but those who are in Christ are bearing fruit unto righteousness, or the fruit of the righteous life, and that fruit is the proof of my relationship with him. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall bring forth much fruit. If your life isn't bringing forth fruit, then it is saying that you're not abiding in him and his word isn't abiding in you, because fruit is the natural consequence of relationship. Now, the works could never give me a righteous standing before God. Jesus gave me a righteous standing before God, but because of that, because I am now married unto him and I have this new relationship with God through Christ, my life is bringing forth righteous fruit. Love, with its characteristics of joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and temperance. Now, these things do not make me righteous, but they are the effect of my righteousness that I now have through my faith in Jesus Christ. I trust you can see the difference. Once I was trying to do these things so I could be righteous before God. And I was struggling as I was trying to do these things. But when I came to this new relationship with God, dead to the law, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ, those things that I was struggling so hard to do under the law and failing to do, I now do as just the natural consequence of my abiding in him and his life, his love, his fruit coming forth from me. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. And that's the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Galatians chapter 5, and Paul gives us that listing. And when we were in the flesh, we had the fruit of the fleshly life. Murder, strife, debates, seditions, adultery, fornication, all of these works of the flesh, which are unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter of the law. So I serve God not legally, but I serve God in the spirit now. And rather than a legal relationship with God, I have a loving relationship with God, serving him in the spirit, in the newness of life in Christ. What should we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No. I had not known what sin was, but by the law. The law is not sin itself. It reveals what sin is. The law is good if we understand the purpose of the law. The law is not good for what people are seeking to derive from the law. People are seeking to derive a righteous standing before God from the law. You can't do that. Obedience to the law will not give you a righteous standing before God. It'll only show you where you have failed to stand before God. By the law is the knowledge of sin. God never intended the law to make a man righteous. If righteousness could come by the law, then Christ died in vain. He wouldn't have to have died if a man could be righteous by keeping laws. So the law came to show us our bankrupt spiritual state, causing us to realize that I cannot keep the standards of the law, and thus forcing me to cast myself upon the grace of God that He has offered to me through Jesus Christ. So the law was intended by God to force me to come to Jesus Christ. And the law, properly understood, will do that. Now, as the law is misinterpreted, as man is so capable of doing, misinterpreting God's word, people have then taken the law and used it as a standard of righteousness and have become extremely self-righteous as they seek to obey the law, bending it wherever it doesn't fit their particular circumstance. You know, I can interpret then that law so that I am under the, you know, I'm on the good side of it. But we have that tendency of taking the law and using it as a standard for holiness or righteousness. And, well, I feel like I'm more righteous than you because, you know, I am not doing those things that you are doing. Or I am doing things that you're not doing that make me more holy. But my righteousness before God is not predicated upon my keeping of the law. The law was to reveal what sin is. And so Paul said, I had not known sin except by the law. For I had not known to lust or to covet was sin. I didn't know that that was a sin. Except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. I didn't know that to have this strong desire was a sin. You see, as a Pharisee, Paul only thought that the fulfilling of the strong desire was sin. You could have a strong sexual attraction to someone, desire a sexual relationship with them. And Paul felt that that wasn't sin. It was only sin if I entered in and had the sexual relationship with them. Nothing wrong with the desire. That's not sin. Until one day, the Spirit spoke to Paul's heart concerning the law, and it said, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not have the strong desire. Whoops. Rather than now feeling self-righteous because I've never had relationship sexually with another woman, I feel guilty because I have had a strong desire. Remember, Jesus said, you have heard that it hath been said by those of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already in his heart. In other words, Jesus is pointing out that the law is spiritual. Paul didn't know that as a Pharisee. But in his smug self-righteousness as a Pharisee, he felt that he was obedient to the law of God. Thou shalt not commit adultery? I've never done it. I'm innocent. Thou shalt not have a strong desire for thy neighbor's wife. Oh. And so suddenly he realizes that the law itself dealt with a spiritual issue. That strong desire that is there. So, I had not known that to have this strong desire was a sin, except the law should say, thou shalt not have the strong desire or covet. And then sin taking occasion by the commandment, sin capitalizing on this, I discovered that I had all kinds of strong desires. It wrought in me all manner of strong desires or lust. Translated there, concupiscence, which is a ardent desire and usually for sex. Now, Paul didn't know that was wrong, except the law said, thou shalt not have the strong desire, covet. So he said, I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I was dead. What is he saying? as a Pharisee, I thought that I had a standing before God. I thought that I was righteous. Live unto God once, I thought, as a Pharisee. In fact, Paul, as he is writing to the Philippians, he said, if any man has whereof to boast in the flesh, I have more than anybody else. Hey, I'm a Jew, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised the eighth day. I was a Pharisee. And concerning the righteousness which is of the law, I was blameless. He was one of those that Jesus was constantly referring to when he was talking about the Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees. And that was Paul. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Going around in his long robes, saying his prayers on the street corners, sounding the trumpet before his giving of his offering unto God. That was Paul. Hey, I was blameless. But when I realized that the law was spiritual, which thing Jesus sought to point out in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, those five contrasts that he gave with the way the Pharisees were interpreting the law and the way God intended the law, the Pharisees interpreting the law in a physical way, God intending the law in a spiritual way. When Paul came to the realization that the law was spiritual and it was dealing really with the attitudes more than the actions of a man, the attitudes from which the actions spring, hey, wait a minute. I've never clubbed my brother to death, but I sure would have loved to. You know, I was so mad I could have killed him. And so he suddenly realized that that anger that was in him, that hatred that was there, was a violation of the law of God. That strong desire that he had was a violation of the law of God. And so when the commandment came, hey, sin was there, it was alive. And I was dead because the law condemned me to death. The law was now my judge, and it had condemned me to death because I have violated the law spiritually. In my heart, in my mind, I'm guilty, and thus the law condemned me to death. And the commandment which was intended to life, ordained to life, I found to be unto death. The law from which I thought I was alive unto God was really a thing that condemned me unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and it slew me. The law can do nothing but condemn each of you to death. It cannot make you righteous before God, cannot give you a righteous standing before God. You can never become righteous before God by your works or by your efforts. All that the law can do, the rules and regulations that you might seek to follow, all they can do is condemn you to death because you have failed to keep them. Now, Paul acknowledges that the law is holy, the commandment is holy and just and good. Nothing wrong with the commandment, thou shalt not covet. Nothing wrong with the commandment, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Nothing wrong with the commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul. There's nothing wrong with the commandment. It's holy. It's just. It's right. It's good. That's the way I should live. I know I should live that way. It's not the commandment that is at fault. It's me that's at fault. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, it wasn't the law that killed me, but my sin that killed me, actually. The law just declared it. Nothing wrong with the law, but it's my sin that has brought me to death. For the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. So the commandment, it isn't in the commandment, it's in sin in me. The violation of the commandment that brought death. But sin, that it might appear sinful, working death in me by that which is good, that is the law, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Again, the law was intended by God to make the whole world guilty before God so that the whole world would seek that righteousness which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, that righteousness that God has provided, to cause man to once and forever desist from trying to have his own righteous standing before God by his own efforts and works. For we know that the law is spiritual. Paul didn't always know that, you see. But now he does. The law is spiritual, but I am carnal. That's where the rub comes in. Nothing wrong with the law, holy, just, and good. But I'm carnal, and my sin brought death. For that which I do, I really don't want to do. For what I would, that I do not do. But what I hate, that I'm doing. Now, Paul is talking about the struggle in his own life when he came to the realization that the law was spiritual, then he was carnal.
Now featuring a beautifully redesigned cover, The Word for Today presents Reflecting God, an inspiring book by Kay Smith, written especially for women who want to grow in faith and impact those around them. One of the most meaningful ways to reflect God is by sharing His love in everyday life. But what does that truly look like? In Reflecting God, Kay Smith offers powerful biblical insights and real-life examples from her own walk with the Lord. You'll learn how to love, nurture, and pray for those God has entrusted to you. It's perfect for personal reading and an excellent choice for women's Bible study groups or small group gatherings. Let this book encourage you and help you encourage others. Order your copy of Reflecting God today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD.
May the Lord bless you and keep His hand upon your life, and may He help you to walk in all righteousness and holiness. For He is Jehovah our God, and He is a holy God. And He wants His people to be a holy people. That the name of the Lord would not be blasphemed by my actions, but that people, in seeing my good works, will glorify our Father who is in heaven. God bless you, and may the face of the Lord shine upon you and His love burn in your hearts, in Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Romans on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Romans 7. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.